Very excited. You know, we had our pal Will Ferrell on a couple days ago talking about his Stranger Than Fiction, and I was I love Will, but I thought, man, if we could only talk to Maggie Gyllenhaal instead, then I'd be really happy. And then I find out we got it today. She's on the phone. Hey, Maggie, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, thanks.
Great to have you. You know, we were just mentioning Will Ferrell. Did you know Will at all before you guys did this movie together?
Well, I had met him, actually. I met him when I auditioned for Anchorman. I don't know if you know my movies, really, but it's kind of an unusual choice for me to be Anchorman.
Yes.
No kidding. Yes, very much so, yes.
I just kind of, like, I loved that script, and I just thought, I could play that girl. And I went, and I flew out to L.A., and I auditioned for it, and I didn't get the part.
So you would have been the Christina Applegate character? That's the one you were going for?
I would have, but they gave it to her instead. But I met Will auditioning for that, and I actually had a really good time with him. I did kind of a wild audition. And then that was it, and then I met him again, you know, when we started working on this.
Now, when you say you did kind of a wild audition, is that the kind of thing where you say, I'm just going to take a shot and I'm just going to do something extreme and see if they like it and if it's either going to sink or fail miserably?
Yeah, I thought, I'll do this movie if I can do it like this.
Right, know? Right.
And if not, then I don't really want to do it. But, right. You know, but I had a really good time, you know what I mean? So, and for me, it's so unusual to go and act like that. So,
right.
So it was kind of fun, but... Yeah, I think like, I grabbed him and kissed him in the audition or something like that.
Very nice.
Well, he seems like, and of course we've been lucky enough to meet him a few times he's been on the show, he just seems like the kind of guy who would just make it a blast to go to work every day. You know, like it'd be so much fun to work with him on the set. Maybe I'm just being naive as just a movie fan rather than a guy on the inside, but it seems like it'd be a lot of fun to hang out with.
He was a lot of fun to hang out with, although in this movie, you know, for most of the movie he plays this kind of, you know, government drone. He plays this guy who's kind of dead. And I'm actually kind of in the movie doing everything I can to wake him up and to make him more like the Will Ferrell that you know.
Right,
exactly.
So he was calmer in I think, probably than maybe he is usually on set. He was actually just really gentle and kind and kind of soft-spoken, to be honest.
And it seems like the character can carry it. He doesn't feel like he's got to put it on his shoulders and make it, you know, funny or whatever. It looks like a great choice for him to make, too, because Stranger Than Fiction is not just a slapstick, wacky comedy. It looks like it's a seriously kind of a weird story, which looks great.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it is definitely a comedy, but it's got so many other things also, which, you know, a lot of Will's movies, I think, before have just been sort of straight-up comedy. And this is, you know, Dustin Hoffman's in it. You know?
Right,
it's
like, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, every review or several reviews that I've read about this film, and they're giving it universally great marks, but they always refer to your character the same way, this Anna that you play, as a free-spirited baker. What's that all about?
Well, you know, the way I meet Will's character in the movie is he plays an IRS agent, and he comes to my bakery to audit me, and I, you know, I play somebody who willingly hasn't paid a percentage of my taxes to protest things that I disagree with in the government.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm covered in tattoos, and I throw dough at him. You know, I'm kind of anarchic.
I have a clip of that particular scene.
Seth's file that you only paid part of your taxes for last year.
That's right.
So you did it on purpose?
Yep.
So you must have been expecting an audit.
I was expecting a fine or a sharp reprimand.
A reprimand? This isn't boarding school, Miss Pascal. You stole from the government.
No, I didn't steal from the government. I just didn't pay you entirely.
Maggie, I know you have to go. I know you've got another appointment, but I guess this is why you love acting so much. When you do Monster House, World Trade Center, Sherry Baby, and now Stranger Than Fiction back to back, you got to just feel like, wow, what a great job to be able to play all these so wildly different characters, huh?
Yeah, actually, it's true. That is what I love about it. It's kind of amazing to play people so different.
Well, you were amazing in Cherry Baby. I just want to say that. You were fantastic in that. And this is Stranger Than Fiction, and it opens today everywhere with Will Ferrell and Queen Latifah and Dustin Hoffman and Emma Thompson and Maggie Gyllenhaal. It looks like a fantastic movie. And thanks for talking to us this morning, Maggie.
Thanks so much, you guys.
You bet. Bye now. 323-520-AFRO is the phone number. It's a message machine. You can leave a message 24 hours a day. Any topic is fine. I don't know if you've heard the term jump the shark or not. It comes from Happy Days. And it's when, I guess, Fonzie was jumping on his motorcycle over a shark.
Right. And it has come to mean the moment where a series goes from being good to bad. All of a sudden now they're out of ideas and the show is on a downward spiral.
It's like from that point on, it was never the same.
Just gets ridiculous.
That kind of thing. And yeah. People are starting to say that about Lost.
Lost has not jumped the shark. It's tiptoed uneventfully over the shark.
So
that
no jumping.
Very funny and very true.
Doto has his fans.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. I just wanted to tell you, Kevin and Bean, that I'll date any girl of any race.
It's very close.
Some K-Fed love.
It's pretty bad when the K-Fed spoof songs that you play are better than his original songs on his album.
Yeah.
K-Fed, you're such a dill hole.
Dude, dill okay. hole. I got to bring
he
that
is a dill
back.
Hole. That's true.
I like dill hole.
Not only is she right, by the way, but K-Fed seriously should hire Ashton Kutcher, who does the songs for Kenny, and just have him put out his albums from now on. He's 100 times more talented than the real K-Fed.
That's true. That's true. We'll hook him up. If he wants to call, we'll hook him up. This is some more, I guess it's kind of belated, but it's some zombie advice.
I just wanted to say that when the zombies come, you're going to need a 12-gauge or semi-automatic rifle. All right. Stay safe. Later.
Okay, thanks.
This is a wish that's going to go unfulfilled.
I have a quick question. I'm planning on going to a calendar signing on Saturday, and I just want to know if you guys are, like, nice in person, because, you know, it's, like, funny when you guys are mean and everything, making fun of people on the radio, but, like, is that how you guys are in person? Because I don't want to be like, oh, hello, you know, and then if you, like, you say something mean or something, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is Bean speaking. I'm super nice to people. I love people and enjoy glad handling and shaking hands and signing, signing autographs, kissing babies. I love that. Kevin, steer clear, man. Just in person, a dick.
I try, but I just can't stop.
Hey, all right. It's Rodney. Hey, thanks for the calendar. You always sign that? All right. You know, the first calendar was printed on recyclable paper. I used to be able to go into the Virgin store and buy it at Tower Records. You could go in there at night, you'd see people, and they'd be there, and, you know, you could get a calendar or CDs. All right.
Okay, that may be the worst impression anyone has ever done of anyone.
Hi. We have a winner, believe it or not.
Oh, no, I don't think so, Rodney. I didn't know Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was still on the air, but I guess
it's syndicated version, yeah.
Right now on Millionaire, one of the answers to the questions is Beaver.
Beaver.
Yeah. I wish I'd seen that.
Please, Amé, this Dracula, I want to hump your butt.
Well, that was... I don't know what that was.
What would you guess would make that guy call on Thursday, the 9th of November, instead of...
Dracula?
I don't know, a week and a half before that. That's a good question.
Yeah.
Is it wrong for me to have some kind of loving feeling for animated Lisa? Because, my God, first as a Simpson, and now as a comic book superhero. Oh, comic book Lisa. Oh, God.
Sounds like he may be referring to
I don't have any idea what he's talking about.
The album of which we cannot speak. But you may see something about it in the Kevin Bean section of Kira.com. You guys promised me some time for the Record of the Infant celebration
today.
31 years ago
today.
I'm so sorry,
Bean.
Sank in the
ship
icy
all went
water.
Down and the sailors all died. But before they did, they crapped themselves.
It is the greatest shipwreck in Lake Superior history.
It was the best one. You're right. It rocked. It was the greatest shipwreck.
We're going to have to push that a little later in the show.
Not now. We don't have to right now. To
a
talk
little
about
later.
Because I got an interview in the can with Captain McSorley I wanted to play for you. From
yeah.
Today.
You hold on to that because I know our audience is as fascinated by the 1974?
Five.
75 shipwreck as you are. So we got to get to it.
On the Kevin and Bean Show, Deftones on the program later on, and bonus body parts coming up after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat.
Bonus body parts.
It's going to be hot. Trust the
not.
Well.
Trust me on this
hot.
One. It's not.
It's going to be funny. I don't think it's going to be hot.
Malibu, do you have an extra body part?
Yes, I do, Sam.
Look, it's
worst
worth
radio
it for
ever.
Me. just to have you tell the story again about the girlfriend you had with two vaginas.
I'm not participating in this.
Oh, come on.
I will be no party to this madness.
Oh, you've done stuff as bad or worse.
Than the extra body parts segment?
Absolutely.
Name one.
Bean, name one.
Asia.
Asia,
rock.
Nice. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Okay. I can't jump on board with Asia. I enjoyed Asia.
I think Asia is a good example.
Lindsay Lohan, well, of course, is a fire crotch, but also was involved in her third car crash in 2 weeks earlier this week.
guilty!
Running from the paparazzi.
Yes, of course, Lisa. Oh, the paparazzi are to blame for this one, too. Apparently, they were tailing her after she left a Los Angeles nightclub at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
On Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
The 20-year-old Lindsay Lohan.
Who hates her party-girl reputation, rolls out of a club Tuesday morning at 2 a.m., and was rear-ended by a paparazzi who was chasing after her. But apparently, she's fine.
Ah, too bad.
A little sore, but fine. Because you know when you get rear-ended?
Sure.
You get a little sore.
Sometimes, yeah.
Lisa knows.
You know. Yeah,
well, you
got to
practice.
Yes, how's the fire?
No word on the crotch, but okay. Apparently the crotch was undamaged. So, wait and see.
I'm still sore.
Denise Richards is bad on every level.
Yeah.
And apparently she was trying to get even with a bunch of paparazzi when she tossed a cameraman's laptop computer off of a balcony at the River Rock Casino Resort in Richmond, British Columbia.
Oh, yeah. That's so terrific.
Where she was filming a new movie.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately for Denise, the laptop hit an elderly woman who was passing by underneath her balcony in a wheelchair.
Oh, yeah.
The Mounties had to be called, of course, the Canadian version of their police. And the woman declined to press charges. The old lady in the chair did not want to press charges against Denise.
It must not have been in America, huh?
Canada? Exactly. Yeah. That's the Canadian for you. They're right there. Oh, that's okay. Oh, I got a bit of a bump, eh? But I'll be good. No, I understand. Things happen, eh? She instead said, I'll everything will be fine if I just get a chance to meet Denise Richards. Apparently, she was a fan.
Really?
She's got one fan in Canada. That's where her fan is.
A laptop off the roof has got to do...
That's got a sting, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
Leave a mark.
Anyway, Heather went out of her way... Denise went out of her way to oblige, and everything is everything. So there you go. But still, wasn't thinking about anybody else, just threw the laptop in a bitchy moment off the balcony and struck an old woman in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I am appalled to see Dr. Christmas Jones act that way.
I know. A nuclear physicist of her level throwing laptop computers around is just completely unconscionable. Hollywood's hottest couples and how they met. Some people meet cute, as they say in the business.
Right.
Uh-huh. In Touch magazine has a list of some of the hottest Hollywood couples and how they met. Some interesting matchmaking going on here. Patrick Dempsey's wife, Jillian,
mm-hmm.
he met her when he made an appointment to have his hair cut. She was a hairstylist.
Oh.
And they met in the haircutter's chair.
Okay.
It's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm.
Will Smith and Jada Pinkett, she auditioned for a role in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He didn't give her the role, didn't cast her, but asked her out.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
It takes guts.
Not so much for the TV show, but how about dinner?
Nicolas Cage met his wife when she was his waitress at a sushi restaurant.
Yeah. Right.
His wife, Alice Kim.
Remember that?
She was like 19 or something, and he married her about a week later.
Yeah.
He must have liked that... At Yellowtail.
Hey! What?
It's a kind of sushi.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now. You people. How dare you? And Marcia Cross met her husband and father of her twins, Tom Mahoney, in a flower shop in Los Angeles while he was buying flowers for another woman that he was dating.
Nice.
That's strong.
Wow. Well done.
Yeah. She must have it going on. You know what I'm saying?
No kidding.
Yep.
Hear about Bill Cosby?
No.
Settled out of court with that Canadian broad who claimed that he drugged her with cold medicine and then sexually assaulted her 3 years ago.
At his house, right?
Yeah.
Said, come on back to the house. I will make sure you're okay. Have some cold medicine and jello pudding.
And then once she passed out, he fondled her boobies.
Woo!
So of course, he says he never did it.
How does she know? She passed out.
Maybe she was in a twilight state or something. I don't know.
So he's denying it, but settled.
Did not do it. Here's a check.
Sometimes it's just easier.
It is easier.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Sad.
And this is my favorite story of the day so far. You know the Country Music Awards ceremony? You're familiar with that?
Yes.
The ones that you love so much?
Happened last week.
Just on Monday night, yeah.
Happened last. Was it Monday night?
Monday night.
Anyway, Faith Hill reportedly pulled some gag where she pretended to be upset into the camera when Carrie Underwood won Country BS Female of the Year, whatever awards they give out.
Vocalist of the Year, right.
Yeah. Well, it was a big deal, apparently, among some people, that she was like, what? She couldn't believe it into the camera and blah, blah. She said afterwards she was just kidding around.
I saw that
some
on YouTube.
Some people thought she was serious.
I saw that on YouTube, and it doesn't give you the idea she was kidding around. You don't get that from
that's her story. Yeah. I don't know. It's country music. What do I care?
It'd be pretty stupid to actually have that reaction with a camera in your face.
I think so, too.
They're a little more savvy than that.
It doesn't seem like Faith Hill's style either, by the way. It seems more like she was goofing, which, by the way, has been done two or three other times on other award shows where somebody in the audience does it, Steve Martin or somebody, do it just as a gag to pretend they're upset that they lose it.
So you're saying it's so yesterday?
I'm just saying I believe that she was probably just clowning.
But funny thing you should mention, Kevin, that you saw it on YouTube.
Yeah.
Because it has officially been announced that the number of viewers who went to YouTube to see that clip has now surpassed the audience that watched the actual award show on television. Because it's country music, and country music blows.
Well, now, having said that, I'm sure it was the number one show of Monday night. That's the second highest rated award show of any of them on television all year long, Ralph. It's the only beat by the Oscars.
Buck Owens, why don't you just go blow country music and leave me alone, all right?
I'm just giving you facts here, that's
all. Get back into the cornfield, go back with your hee-haw friends, and just kiss Minnie Pearl's ass, all right?
I've just given you facts. It's just a popular show. That's all I'm saying. Shut up.
How do you have the facts of the rankings of the award shows?
What else does he have, Kevin? What else does he have?
I have no blog anymore, guys. I got to use this information.
Please start the blog again.
Yeah. I'm going to buy you a blog for Christmas.
I already have a whole new thing of Thanks for That Info Bean. I've already got a whole new segment.
Because he's just brimming over. He's got no place to funnel the BS that comes out of his head.
Ralph, I told him yesterday, please start it again. You don't have to do it every day. Don't put that pressure on yourself. But whenever you think of something great, put it in that blog.
Keep a journal or just a pad and paper next to your bed or some effing thing. Do something.
Ralph, I told Kevin yesterday that the man who created Wonder Woman in 1941 is the same guy who invented the polygraph. Now, that's interesting information. That information deserves to be shared with somebody, doesn't it?
That's interesting if you're having a protracted conversation about Wonder Woman. Yes.
But the guy invented the lie detector who also invented the lasso of truth.
Not acceptable.
You don't get it, man.
He was also way into S&M and bondage and discipline and stuff.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, now it's interesting.
See?
Before, not interesting.
All the early issues of Wonder Woman, she was always ended up being bound and tied up and stuff and everything. And, you know, the creator was like, sure.
Like, give me Doc's phone number. I'm going to pass along to Bean so we can have some conversation.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthday is Roy Scheider, one of my favorite actors. Probably best known for playing Chief Brody in the legendary film Jaws. He's 74 years old today. You know, I was a big fan of that show, Jaws.
Who?
Is Bryan Singer.
The
famous film director. Mm-hmm. In fact, he named his production company Bad Hat Harry Productions.
Oh, right.
Because in Jaws, there's a guy swimming in the, an old dude swimming in the water with a gray sort of swimming cap, and Scheider thinks it's a shark and almost shoots him. And he says, "That's a bad hat, Harry."
You see that at the end of every house.
You see it, if you watch House at the end, you'll see it. You see it at the end of every house.
That's funny.
Little piece of trivia. Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock. He is 38 years old today. Ellen Pompeo from Grey's Anatomy is 37. Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World turns 31. Brittany Murphy, lovely young actress, is 29 years old today. And Eve, rapper actress, is 28. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You guys watch The Grey's Anatomy, right?
Yes.
On and off. Okay. I don't have time to watch it every week, but it's a pretty well-done chick show.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
Very popular show on television. I did not see last night's new episode, but last week something came up on the show that I thought might be interesting to throw out to our listeners and find out if they have similar experiences. They had a woman who was brought into the hospital, Seattle Grace Hospital on Grey's Anatomy, who had, she was pregnant with twins, but it turned out they ended up having two different fathers. They were in two different uteruses. She had two complete uteruses, both of which could carry a baby.
So she had a baby in each one from a different father?
Yes.
Yeah, much to her surprise.
Ain't natural!
Yeah, it turned out she had been on a break with her boyfriend and had hooked up with somebody else. And it was kind of neat because the guy thought he was the father of twins, thought he was the father of both, and then found out while she's in the hospital getting ready to give birth that one of them's his and one of them isn't. And that's
yo, butt ain't made for that.
No babies in the butt.
Oh,
not
no,
at all.
Okay.
Just two uteruses.
All right.
So we started talking about it happens from time to time that somebody will be, depending on how you look at it, either blessed or cursed with an extra body part. Apparently, it's not, of course, it's not common to have two uteruses, but it does happen. She's not the only person that, you know, ever had it. Ralph has told us famously on this show that he dated a woman with two working vaginas, which is a perfect example of how you're blessed at that point, right?
That's, I guess.
He told me it was.
Is there any bad news there?
He told me he was dating a guy with two a-holes. I think he changed it for you.
Oh, really? That's what the real story was?
Well,
oh,
I didn't know that.
But, I mean, two vaginas. I mean,
I don't know.
Good times, right?
Two vaginas is opening up Acoustic Christmas, by the way. Those details are on the way.
And there are a lot of different, I mean, there are, and this is the phone topic that's on the table, 1-800-520-1067. We want to talk to people who have bonus body parts. Maybe you've got an extra finger. Maybe you've got an extra toe. Maybe you've got an extra, I don't know, is it possible to have an extra belly button? I don't know. Four nipples would be interesting to hear about.
Two wieners.
Three balls. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Now, there's a story of a baby who was born last year that made the news. I don't know if you saw this, but they figure that this baby was originally supposed to be twins that didn't separate. And this little kid was born with two mouths, with an extra pair of legs. I mean, it was just all over the place.
Wow.
Which wasn't ideal for him. But if you're an adult and you've got an extra body part, I think it would be really interesting to find out what it is and how it affects you, what it's like. Is it cool? Is it the type of thing that you could show off? I mean, I think you'd be the life of the party if you had a tail, you know? But maybe you don't. Maybe it's something you hide.
Do you think we're going to get any tail calls?
I heard the radio a girl confessed to having a tail. Just a couple of weeks ago. Her mom was on the phone, yeah. And she said, no, we had surgery. It's not there anymore. They removed when you were a baby.
That's awesome.
My goal is someone with a tail. For me, that's the gold standard, is you're born with a tail. Because I think that's the coolest thing ever.
1-800-520-1067. We're taking calls on bonus body parts. Mark in Northridge can begin. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Kevin and Dean, and good morning, listen to
me. Hi, Mark.
So your ex-girlfriend, tell us about her bonus body parts.
Well, that's what it was. It was one inside of the other is what it was.
Vaginas?
Vagina?
The whole time I was trying to get it, I thought that I was going to see two, you know, side by side. But when I actually got it, it looked like one.
One inside of the other.
Wow.
How can you?
So you wouldn't really know unless she told you that, right?
Probably not, actually.
Were they separate? I mean, did they feel separate to her? She had a separate sensation in each one?
No, but I don't know about that for sure. I knew she had a little bit of a health problem with one and not the other.
No. Oh, I see. Were you man enough to hit them both, or did you only ever test out the one?
I was just hitting them like I hit any.
It was being wasted on you, Mark. It was being wasted. Pearls before swine.
I hope she's with a guy now who can get the job done to both of them.
No wonder your behind is bleeding.
No, right. Not the butt. Not the butt at all. Actually, he was talking about...
Vagina, 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 vagina.
Billy and Whittier, good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
Hey, good. Billy.
Hi, Lisa.
Bonus
Hi.
Body parts. What do you have?
I have 12 toes.
12 toes?
Oh, you're so lucky.
So an extra one on each foot?
Really well.
Or is it 5 and 7? So are you lucky? Is being correct in that, or is it a pain in your ass?
Well, lucky if you consider I don't ever get late.
Yeah. But that's not creeped out by
wait
that.
Wait a minute. Yeah, wait
well,
a minute.
That, I just keep the socks on.
Billy, for God's
sake. You're telling me that girls are really freaked out by the fact that you have an extra toe on each foot? How on earth could that possibly matter?
I don't know. You guys are picky.
No, it's not that, Lisa. It's that Billy has no game, because if you have game, you take someone home, you turn down the light, she doesn't find out for weeks extra toes.
That's true.
I mean, come on. It's not the first thing you do is say, 6 toes on each foot. Do you still like me?
Well, Billy, it doesn't really work as a pickup line.
Yeah.
Do you bring it up to them? I mean, is it something that you're self-conscious about, so that you tell, hey, listen, before I take off my pants, I need to tell you, it's kind of shocking, but I have an extra toe.
It's actually a good icebreaker. It makes sure. As long as you make fun of yourself before they can make you.
Party trick, yeah. All right, Billy, thank you for the call. We're going to take a quick break. 1-800-520-1067. Double uterus, you hold on. Guy with two a-holes, please hold on.
Oh!
Extra bone and leg, please hold on. Three nipples, please hold on. And three testicles, please hold on.
By the way, briefly, up on the phone screen, we had someone who had a family member with a tail. We lost the call, but please call back, or anyone else with a tail. That's what I really, really want.
And two penises, hold on. And we'll get to all those next. We're talking about bonus body parts.
Yes, we are.
And
yes,
wow,
we
got some good ones.
If we still had affiliates, man, I would be warning them right now we're going long because this topic may go all day. I'm so in love with this. 1-800-520-1067. We're going to go through them as fast as we can. Thank you for everybody for holding on. Let's start with Ryan real quick. We'll start mild and then we'll build toward two penises, okay?
Okay.
Ryan and LA, wrong, just sorry. A line runner to that. Bonus body parts. Ryan, what do you got, dude?
I have 6 wisdom teeth.
Oh, cool. No.
6 wisdom teeth.
Are they all still in your mouth, cavities. Or do you have to have some of them removed?
No, they're all fitting just fine.
Really? That's amazing.
You have the mouth of a shark? You have like 3 rows of teeth or something?
It just takes me that much longer to brush my teeth.
I bet.
Wow, that's weird.
Thanks for the call, dude.
Legendary.
Thank you.
I bet. Thanks for the call. 1-800-520-1067. Let's talk to, let's go to Sarah in Lakewood. Now, she dated a guy with a couple of bonus body parts here. What's going on here?
Sarah?
Hello.
We made a joke about a guy with 2 a-holes.
No, he has 2 a-holes.
So you dated a guy that had 2 a-holes.
I did.
Were they side by side?
Front? They were like, his real working one was lower and the other one was up above. It didn't work, but it was there.
How does something like that happen? I mean, what did they tell him?
I don't know what they tell him. I didn't ask too many questions.
Yeah, I think it's probably...
Did you laugh when you first saw it?
Well, yeah, because the first time he told us about it, he was drunk, and it was like a party favor.
Sure, he's like, oh, I got 2 a-holes. And it was like, oh, that's stupid. Don't say that. No, I really do. That rules.
Yeah.
All right, thank you for the call. We appreciate it.
There are questions I want to ask, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, no.
I heard beans start to go, too.
Yeah, exactly. I have too many questions that aren't going to go anywhere.
Right, let's do Jay in Rancho Cucamonga. Good morning, Jay.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Lisa, man.
What you got?
What do you got? What are you packing?
I got 3 balls.
Yeah!
Yes! Oh!
We found a 3-baller.
Dude.
So 2 to the left and 1 to the right. How do you do it?
I got 1 to the left, 1 to the right, and 1 kind of pushing a little forward. It pushes the junk forward more.
Nice.
Wow. How about it? Now, do you ever ride a bike past Lance Armstrong's house and say, burn?
No, I don't ride a bike. It's a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Dude, you know how guys get hit there every once in a while? This guy's screwed because every single time you get hit, anywhere within that area you get hit.
Jay, was there ever any conversation, was there ever any reason to explore maybe having one of the testes removed, or does it not really make that much of a difference?
Why would I do that? I'm freaking gifted.
Well said, Jay. All right, last question for you, and maybe you don't know because you don't have anything to compare it to, but do you produce anything more with the 3 testicles than most guys do with the 2?
You're damn right I do.
Oh.
Okay, he's the decorator. Jay is the decorator.
I was going to ask, is he buff? Does he have extra testosterone? Because if they're all 3 functioning, he probably produces more testosterone. Are you, like, buffed out?
No, not really.
Sorry, you're not going to be able to date him.
Dude, he's got natural steroids.
Mike is so disappointed.
I know, he's so excited.
All right, we're almost out of time. Where do you want to go? Which one do you like next?
Well, we got to do...
Got to do Nathan, obviously. Do we want to do... You want to do Ray? You want to do Ray in Long Beach?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, sure. Because that's
my hero.
Ray in Long Beach, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Ray.
So to be your hero, Bean, a guy has to have a tail?
Exactly. Ray, do you really have a tail?
I really do, man. And it's kind of strange, dude. I've had it for, like, 6 years already. I went to operation, and it didn't work. And I've tried it, and it's been 6 years that I haven't tried operating it again. And it's kind of cool sometimes because, like, girls dig it, and, like, they want me to put it in parts where... Like,
no, they don't.
Ray.
Come on. There's no girl that says, I need your tail, and I need it right now.
Let me tell you something, dude.
Please.
I will send you an email with it, man. But look, check this out. One day at a party, this girl freaked out on it, man. She's like, I'm sorry, I was just drunk. But can I see it again? I'm like, man, if you're going to laugh at me, I don't even want to talk to you. I showed him.
Ray, is Ray having us on?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he making it up?
I don't think.
How does the surgery not work?
I don't get it either.
Because he has it because he's the devil, not because he's...
All right, Ray, we're hanging up with you. Let's talk to the first Ryan real quick because he dated a girl with a tail. Let's find out if that's legit. Ryan, how much of a tail did the girl have?
Hello?
What's your name?
Ryan.
Greg.
What's happening?
Ryan, are you on the other phone or something, dude? Yeah, okay. All right. He sounds like he's busy. Yeah. I guess we've lost him.
What are you doing?
Hey. I'm sorry. I dated a chick with a tail.
Okay.
How much of a tail? How long was her tail?
4 feet.
1.5 to 2 inches.
Oh, that's a nub, dude. That's
but was
that's
it
no
a,
good.
Was it a bone or was it like a hair?
It wasn't a bone. It was more like an uncircumcised penis.
Ooh.
Oh.
How come she didn't have it removed when at birth?
I don't even think she and I never discussed it, so maybe she just didn't want to talk about it, or I have no idea.
Okay, thank you, Ryan.
Okay. All right, let's close with Nathan.
I guess, but what about the four nipples and the unclosed gill behind the ear?
We just got no time, dude.
Unclosed gill behind the ear. What are you looking for here? Nathan in Laguna Niguel, good morning. Hello, Nathan. Oh,
what's going on with the phones now?
He went away. Nathan, are you there?
We can't lose guy with two penises. Producer Alex wants a photo.
Has two penises, one functioning.
Only one functioning, though. That's not good.
All right, well, we got to go to this one then. What the hell? Let's go to Jason in Santa Monica. Hi, Jason.
Hi, guys.
Wife, current wife?
Current wife.
Four nipples.
That's right.
Where are they?
Two in normal place and one's a little bit lower on the stomach and the other one just below her breast.
Huh.
And then she's got one on her calf.
are they still, are those other two, are they sensitive like regular nipples?
Not at all.
Okay.
All right, tell us about what else she's got.
What about the unclosed gill behind the ear?
Yeah, this was funny because just one day I was probably like messing with her hair or something and I noticed a little, like a slit behind her ear.
Yeah.
And then I asked her dad what it was because he's a doctor.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, you know, actually, once in a while, babies are born with that. And in the uterus, they have openings behind their ears that are like gills left over from evolution. But almost everybody, it closes.
Wow.
And it happened not to close. So I always tease her. That would be a great band name if she ever wanted to start a
unclosed gill behind the ear?
No, four nipples and a gill.
Nice. That's good, too. Dude, can she swim underwater forever?
Yeah, I always tease her about that. Yeah.
Wow.
You're a hell of a husband.
A gill.
Chernobyl?
What's that?
Is she from Chernobyl? All these oddities.
It's incredible, I know.
Yeah, wow.
That's a trip.
All right, thank you, Jason. Yeah, she's got a husband that's on the radio telling everybody about it. Do we have time for John, who's got two holes in the tip of his penis? Two
gotta
holes.
Go. Right over. Look at the clock.
Anyway, this is Super Dave on The All Show on 88.9 Radio Free Pasadena. And before... So anyways, coming up, we got some Pennywise and some Beastie Boys.
That's Dave, the King of Mexico.
Yeah, that's the King back in college, and he hasn't improved much. But we love the King. He's been answering the phones here at K-Rock now for 15 years or so.
He's our lethargic phone screener, as they say.
According to Wikipedia.
So Dave comes to us a couple of days ago, and it's very rare for Dave, but he seems energized. Am I lying about this, guys? He was really excited, like... Something was going on with Dave that he had to share with us.
Mike, you're the guy who was trying to help him, right? What did he say?
Omar and Dave and I were in the office after the show the other day. And Dave said, I'm having a little trouble writing this song, man, but I really want to get it done. It sounds funny. And I said, well, I'll help you out, dude. No, I don't want your help. I don't want your help. I don't want your help at all. I got it on my own. And I said, well, why wouldn't you want my help? Nope, I know what I'm doing. I can take care of it, so...
Well, after you hear the song, you'll understand why I didn't want your help.
Did you think that he couldn't just help you, that he would try to put himself into it because he's so self-centered?
No, I just...
Why are you writing a song? I don't even understand.
Yeah, where did that come from?
Here's the deal. I want to tell you about the song.
Here's the deal.
Here's the pickle. All right, go ahead.
We got Kevin and we got Mike, both Laker fans.
Right.
Who just nothing talk about the Lakers. Lakers, 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 Lakers.
Right.
They suck. Clippers are going to rule this year.
What Dave says at the beginning of every season, by the way.
Yes.
Right.
So, you know, I just want to have a voice and throw out the Clipper name out there to everybody.
Okay, so you wrote a song about this?
Yes.
So us hearing you talk about the Clippers every day, all day, in between all of the songs, that's not enough for you? You don't feel like you're getting the message out that you're a Clippers fan? You have to now put it in music?
You guys know I'm a Clipper fan.
Right.
But, you know, there's no Clipper Nation representation on K-Rock, you know? It's just me yelling at you guys, and then you guys just talk about the Lakers.
That's pretty much what it should be.
No.
What about our sports guy every hour, though? He always gives the Clippers their prop. That's right. We're not allowed to have the sports.
So we've not been able to listen to this. They will not let Bean and I listen to it. They say, don't listen to it. It'll be better. Trust me. It's the world premiere of the new Dave the King of Mexico song. Now
that scares me that we've not heard this, and we're putting it
on
the
air. Are you singing? Are you rapping?
Just play it, man. And,
what's the title?
I don't think there's a category for what he's doing.
What's the title of the song? You don't want to tell us?
Nope. Just okay. play just the damn song.
Play-o. Ladies and gentlemen, the world premiere of the new Dave the King of Mexico song. We know you've all been waiting for it on K-Rock.
The Pepper Nation's back. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah. The Lakers suck, and we know that. Yeah. We're playoff bound, and that's a fact. Yeah. Tell them who they are. Elton Brand. He cleans the boards, cause he's the man. Cadino Mobley cuts through the lane. Sam Cassell has a poster game. Tell who the fans. Stoney Jack got Malcolm in the middle. Stoney Jack got Michael Clark Duncan. Stoney Jack got Penny Marshall. Stoney Jack got Dancing Daryl. Stoney Jack got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. You know, I'm tired of Kevin being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props. With a team that also has Maggette, Thomas, Ross, Livingston, and Kamen, it's over. You know who's the best in the West. There ain't no Warriors. There ain't no trails blazing. The Lakers are drying up. The Suns are setting. Clipper Nation number one. 2006, you know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
Wow.
Yeah, give it up, yo. Give it up.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's the keeper right there.
That's Dave, more energy than I've ever heard out of Dave.
He's never put that much energy into the show. A,
yes.
And, by the way, yeah. And B, that was more of a song about you than the Clippers.
What are you talking
King
about?
King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
No, that was, you know, the end. That's the only fan they need is me, man.
Wow.
You know who's so happy right now is Kevin Federline, who realizes he's actually got talent.
Ma'am, your thoughts?
That sounds horrible to me, but you seem happy, so yay!
The Pepper Nation's back. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah. The Lakers suck, and we know that. Yeah. We're playoff bound, and that's a fact. Yeah. Tell them who they are. Elton Brand. He cleans the boards, cause he's the man. Cadino Mobley cuts through the lane. Sam Cassell has a poster game. Tell who the fans. Stoney Jack got Malcolm in the middle. Stoney Jack got Michael Clark Duncan. Stoney Jack got Penny Marshall. Stoney Jack got Dancing Daryl. Stoney Jack got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. Go Mexico. Got King of Mexico. You know, I'm tired of Kevin being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props. With a team that also has Maggette, Thomas, Ross, Livingston, and Kamen, it's over. You know who's the best in the West. There ain't no Warriors. There ain't no trails blazing. The Lakers are drying up. The Suns are setting. Clipper Nation number one. 2006, you know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
Still a little floored by that song. It was
the
odd.
King? Yeah.
That was weird. The King coming in and contributing and then doing something
writing
and then bringing it in and
recording
writing
it, yeah.
Performing like instead of just sleeping.
Well, that's his one for 10 years. Every 10 years, he's going to crank something out that we'll all be very impressed by.
It's the Kevin Beach on K-Rock, K-Rock UFM, Pasadena, Los Angeles, at a couple minutes till 8 o'clock. We got the movie beat coming up next hour. And speaking of movies, we'll talk to a terrific actor. Christian Bale is in a new film that opens up today. We got that for you next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph stops by with the showbiz beat.
Speaking of movies, the very first, and I can't imagine last, lawsuit has been filed against the movie Borat.
Sure.
Apparently, two of the frat boys that were seen in the mobile home scene, the motorhome scene, if you've seen the film, you know what I'm talking about, are not pleased with how they were represented, and so they are suing Fox and Sacha Baron Cohen and his production company.
They're not pleased with how they were represented, like somebody
right.
else did it?
Well, they claim that they were taken to a drinking establishment to loosen up and provided alcoholic beverages.
And that's the opposite of what they normally do?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
College guys?
Yeah.
And then they were encouraged to continue drinking while the scene was filmed. And then when they saw the movie, the finished product, they
realized they were a-holes?
They came off as a-holes, basically. The plaintiffs are claiming they suffered, and I quote, humiliation, mental anguish, and emotional and physical distress with loss of reputation, loss of goodwill, and loss of standing in the community. Look, you're not a pastor, okay? You're a frat guy.
That's a lawyer coming up with a lot of terms.
Yeah.
For a drunk frat guy.
Dude, you never give yourself up for a woman, man. Never do that.
They were awesome.
Yeah, that's great. Can't imagine.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
High five. Speaking of which, if you've seen the film, you know Pamela Anderson plays a big role in it. And she did an interview talking about her her scene in the film. And people are trying to, as they watch it now, speculate what was staged by Sacha Baron Cohen. What is really happening?
Of course, yeah.
What are they filming? Which, because it is sort of a blend of those two things. And Pamela admits that for her role in the film, and if you haven't seen it yet, you'll know what I'm talking about when you do. She was in on the joke. She was informed.
Had to be, or he would be arrested.
But no one else was.
None of the security or anyone?
Exactly.
Really?
Oh, my God.
They talked to her, but everything else you saw, the reactions of the people, including the security who was on hand, was all
Lisa,
actual.
Was that your favorite scene in the movie?
I haven't seen it.
Mike, was that your favorite scene?
Definitely.
But...
he hasn't seen it either.
But now I'm going to enjoy it more when I see it.
People love it. You have a little insight there.
Yeah, so I like
you
that.
You will laugh out loud.
Well, let me just say, not that there weren't plenty of reasons to love Pamela Anderson, but big ups for her for playing along the way she did there.
Yeah,
she was awesome.
Great. She was absolutely great. Heather Mills McCartney says she'll take $150 million to end her marriage to Sir Paul McCartney.
That's so big of her.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Just write me a check for $150 million and this whole thing will go away.
That's jeez. So
hateable.
That's $50 million a limb.
Hey!
That is a lot of money, I think, for a broad with one leg.
That's ridiculous.
It'd be tough for a gal with two legs to spend that kind of cash. How could a gal with one spend it? Come on.
And TMZ, as you know, our favorite website of showbiz news, has released the interworkings of the prenup signed by Kevin Federline and Britney Spears.
Oh, cool.
They claim that he's not going to get much money.
Excellent.
According to the people at TMZ, the only thing he is due is less than 20% of the value of their Malibu home, which is valued at approximately $10 million. So 20% would be $2
million. Okay.
He'll go through that in about
and he gets
months.
1 year of spousal support from Britney Spears.
That's all.
$250,000.
Which is crazy, but...
Well, thank God he's got that recording career to fall back on.
So if you think high-end, they're saying high-end, he's going to make $2 million, $2.25 million.
Yeah.
And that's it. How quickly is he going to burn through
that? Oh, my God.
A week and a half?
Yeah.
But let's not forget, he probably is making about a quarter for every CD sold. So there's
that's
a couple
true.
Hundred bucks.
There's some cigarette money. So there we go. And Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt are looking to adopt again.
Yes.
No. Us Weekly magazine says they're filming a movie in India currently, and they're touring parts of the country shopping for a baby 18 months old or younger.
So wherever they go, they just shop for babies.
Some people pick up snow globes when they travel, you know, at the
collection
at the airport store. Mm-hmm. They grab themselves a baby to have a nice memory of their trip.
Do they sell babies at the airport store?
Oh, they do in India, yeah.
Would you like a baby? Do you have many babies in my store? Do not step on the cow.
They're getting them so fast now that how are they keeping them all straight? Like, which baby's that? What country is he from? What's his name? Hey, Brad, do you remember his name? I don't.
They're just numbering them now.
Yeah. 12, come here.
Yeah. Pit 5, pit 6, pit 7. Happy celebrity birthday to Roy Scheider. He, of course, played Chief Martin Brody in Jaws and also has been in many, many other films. You ever see a movie called All That Jazz?
No. Oh, yeah.
Oscar-winning film. He's great in that, too. Yeah. 74 years old today. Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock is 38. Ellen Pompeo. She plays Dr. Meredith Grey on Grey's Anatomy. Huh, what a coincidence. She'd play a character named Grey, and the show's called Grey's Anatomy.
I think
just
that's
a lucky coincidence.
That was the plan.
Whoa.
I think.
She's 37. Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World is 31. Brittany Murphy turns 29 today. Eve, rapper and actress, is 28. And let me read a quick email.
No
here.
Bell for Brittany Murphy?
Yeah.
Oh, did I miss
yes.
that one?
I went right to Eve, right over Brittany Murphy.
What the hell? I apologize. I was, in my mind, I was thinking, hey, no love for the professor from Gilligan's Island. That's what I was actually thinking.
Well, you know, we're running long on time here, so I didn't want to, I've got plenty of birthdays I could go to, but I left the professor out this time. I'll pick him up next time. Speaking of leaving birthdays out, I'm going to read a quick email. Good morning, Ralph. Just wanted to make a quick request. Would it be possible to wish every Marine a happy 231st birthday? Today is my beloved Corps B-Day, and I know there are a lot of Marines who listen to you guys. Marines who have fought in previous battles, Marines who have just returned from today's battles, and Marines who are about to leave and fight for the freedom we take for granted. That's from Miguel Perez. So I would like to wish the Marines a happy birthday, their 231st birthday. and Semper Fi. I'd like to do that, but I can't.
How come?
Sorry. Well, as everyone knows, I support the war, but I'm against the troops.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
In good conscience, I really can't do that.
I didn't know that position existed.
But I wanted to read that email. Okay. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A couple of months ago, we had on a TV producer friend of ours, a guy by the name of Eric Schatz, who we love because he does our kind of show. He did Miss Dog America. He did The Littlest Groom. He did 101 Things Removed from the Human Body. I mean, this guy is first-class quality television. And he came
Man
on
Man versus Beast.
Man versus Beast, right. One of the all-time greats. He came on and he said, guys, I'm doing something a little different I want to tell you about. And that show that he discussed back then is actually debuting tonight on the Military Channel. And next week you'll see it on the Discovery Channel. It's called My War Diary. And he explained to us that he was going to be showing actual video shot by our men and women in uniform in Iraq. That was going to be the show. So we said, cool, tell us more. Well, it turns out the guy who's featured on the episode that we'll see on television tonight is on the phone with us right now. So we'll say hello to Lieutenant Brian Suits of the U.S. Army. Hey, Brian, how are you?
Of the Washington National Guard. Hey, good morning, K-Rock's Kevin and the Bean.
This is fantastic. Weird because we've known Brian, and he worked here on the show for a while. And we knew he was in Iraq. Mm-hmm. And neither Bean or I thought about any way of contacting him about this particular show. We were talking about My War Diaries, people who bring home video from Iraq, and it didn't occur to us that maybe we knew a guy over there. And then all of a sudden,
video.
He found out about it, and now he's going to be featured on the show tonight.
He didn't need you.
That's bizarre.
As it turns out.
He's never needed us.
Let's be honest. You guys could have sent me a care package. You could have sent me an email, but I didn't hear anything from either of you for over a year.
You didn't get the cookies?
No, I got the porn and the hollow points from Lightning, though.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, good. Excellent. Now, Lieutenant, can I call you Lieutenant? I guess you're getting promoted tomorrow. You're going to be captain tomorrow,
yeah,
right?
I'm in the Washington Army National Guard, so right now I'm a civilian when I'm speaking. But, yeah, as of tomorrow, I'll be a captain.
Wow.
Okay, cool. So one of the things we talked to your producer guy, Mr. Schatz, about is that this war is different in others that have been fought in that the technology has got to the point where virtually every guy on the ground can have a video camera, and I imagine it's pretty commonplace over there, right?
Yeah, I think it's gone past the Army's ability to understand this, because most 19-year-olds know more about mini DV and how to duct tape it to their side of their rifle or machine gun than the Army can
can
make rules about. And you know, the Army's trying to deal with blogging and all this, but they really haven't come out with rules about your own personal video camera. During your own personal day.
So you you take your video camera with you wherever you go in Iraq, and you film stuff. Then you bring it back, and now this show is going to feature different soldiers with their video, right? And you're on it tonight. What are we going to see?
Well, I shot video for intelligence gathering reasons, as well as sort of the same reason a cop does it. And when I came back, I looked at hours and hours and hours of it, and it was pretty boring to me, but to people who saw it for the first time, they said, wow, there's something in there. And so I put together a movie about the 2005 election, and it's like a 4 or 5 day span, and they condensed it down to about 9 minutes. But it one of the central things that it features is there were two old men, two brothers who were 79 and 80, who obviously never voted in their lives, and they voted for the first time in January 2005, and they were guys that I'd known for months and months. And then one of my translators was very cynical, and he didn't want to vote. He was going to have his brother vote for him, but when they actually asked for ID, and believe it or not, proof of citizenship at the polling place.
Wow. And, we don't do that here.
So just ask your mayor. Ba-dum-bum. And so the deal is they called him and said, his brother said, I can't vote for you. So we had to, at the last minute, with the polls closing at any minute, we had to, at risk of life and limb, get him to a polling place. And it was in the end, it was very moving to help a guy who was very cynical and didn't think democracy mattered. When he found out the country, that the election really mattered, he put his life on the line to go vote.
And when you say put his life on the line, you know, people might not remember, but when they were voting, there were all kinds of people who wanted to kill them, that had death threats against them if they would go vote.
And the tonight's episode also features another thing that happened to me on the day of the election. We detained three men from an unnamed adjacent country to Iraq.
And
they were intimidating voters. They had murdered the guy whose car they were driving, and we knew the car owner. We had been there for so long.
No kidding.
I knew who owned the Buick Skylark. I knew these three guys weren't it.
Right.
And so that's in the video as well. And
what do you do with them? You detain them and put them in a prison someplace? And
we gave them to the Iraqi authorities. They confessed to Iraqi crimes, and they went into the Iraqi justice system, and I would rather be a given-up puppy at the Humane Society than go through any Middle Eastern justice system.
Really? Wow. But we're talking to Lieutenant Brian Suits on the line about My War Diary. Two episodes tonight. We'll kick it off at 9 and 9:30 on the Military Channel. What was your job that day? Were you providing security for polling places?
Yeah, my infantry company from Washington Army National Guard, we were not supposed to interfere in any way with the polling places, but we were supposed to provide security for the area. And the local police, the national police and local police, provided actual polling place security. And so in our day-to-day duties around the election, we're simply patrolling and detecting the enemy and killing the enemy and et cetera, et cetera.
Hey, Brian, we just had the elections here. And have the Iraqis yet learned the beautiful art of the negative campaign advertisement?
Yeah, they learned that right off the bat.
Excellent.
That's a no-brainer. The sort of, you know, vote for me because the other guy is a donkey's genital.
Right.
let me ask you one broader question about this phenomena of soldiers on the ground shooting their own video. And you mentioned at the top of the conversation how the Army isn't really, they don't really have enough rules on the books to prevent you from doing that. But have you heard of any situations where, especially with, you know, some of the stories that have come back of you know, maybe bad conduct by our soldiers. Have you heard of anybody actually having evidence to something that kind of has to be hushed up or destroyed or anything like that, that they shot on their own, that there are others who may wish that tape did not exist?
Well, my caution to a lot of soldiers is if you don't have the context for something, sometimes the video doesn't tell the story, because there's plenty of times in combat where a guy doesn't have a weapon visible. He just shot at you and he hid the weapon and he's running away.
Right.
And that's still combat and you can kill him. But if you have video of that, somehow you captured that, it for all the world, it looks like you just shot an unarmed man. And I would highly recommend, in America of 2006, unlike Normandy of 1944, keep that video to yourself, because civilians don't haven't experienced combat at the rate that we did generations ago when we all served.
And you were in Normandy, right?
Yeah, I was the first man of each.
Well, you know, you're right, Brian, in that the video does become the whole truth if all that exists. And we've seen that so many times with LAPD videos or something, where that 30 seconds on YouTube is what the whole story is, and you don't see the 8 minutes leading up to it. But you're absolutely right. We are out of time. I want to tell people again, the show is My War Diary, two episodes tonight at 9 and 9:30 on the Military Channel. And if you are a soldier who has video or knows someone who does, the website is the same, mywardiary.com. And I hope this show does well. I hope this catches on, because I think it's great to actually see it from the perspective of the people who are living it over there, rather than just, you know, the 30 seconds on the news each night. I think it's a great idea.
I hear that, sister.
Captain Brian, Squishy the Clown, do we run into him over there?
From time to time, he did turn frowns upside down.
That's great.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian. See ya.
Bye now.
It is Friday and time for the Movie Beat.
Hey, boys and girls, there are about a dozen new movies in Southland Cineplexes this weekend. Some small, intimate, independent films, some documentaries, and some big-budget motion pictures. Let's take a look at a couple of them, shall we? A few interesting biopics opening today, including Copying Beethoven, where Ed Harris plays Beethoven as he struggles to finish his Ninth Symphony, battling depression and deafness. He was completely deaf by the time he wrote the Ninth Symphony.
Yeah.
It's pretty impressive.
Pretty amazing.
That is impressive.
He insisted on conducting it himself, too, by the way.
Yeah.
It's impressive, and yet I have no interest in going.
And Ed Harris is great.
I'm going to my timpanis. That's what he said, basically.
What does the guy have to do to get my interest?
You can't even recognize Ed Harris in this role. I don't know if you've seen the clips, Ralph, but he's got this prosthetics on his face. Doesn't even look like him.
Fur is also a biopic available today in theaters to you. It's Diane Arbus, about the photographer Diane Arbus, played by Nicole Kidman.
Hmm.
This is a fictionalized version of her life. It blends real characters with invented characters. Tells a story about how a 50s housewife became one of the most powerfully influential photographers of her era. So, there you go. You got that going on. Let's take a look at some of the other films.
I rented Fur last weekend, but it was very
different.
Very different.
The Return opens today. Sarah Michelle Gellar getting scared again. Oh, I can't get enough of that. I like it when she's scared.
I do, too.
Here she is, or she goes to a small town by accident, and then evil wants to keep her there. Here's Sarah getting freaked out by something in the mirror.
That's a hell of a clip.
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh, my God. Scary, that was it?
That's a good clip.
I just wanted to show you how scary it is. She's like scared. I told you I like it when Sarah Michelle Gellar gets scared.
What is she scared of in this movie? Stuff.
I think it's us telling a story about her in the back seat.
Yeah. Let's not bring that up again.
Okay, I'm just curious. Harsh Times, starring Christian Bale.
Looks great.
Oh, wow. Not even nothing from Mike. No.
His mouth is full.
His mouth's already full.
Yeah.
Wish it was Christian Bale his mouth is full of, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Who plays an ex-Army Ranger.
It's a goat. What are you doing?
Returns to a life of crime and drugs in his childhood neighborhood of South L.A. with his good friend, played by Freddie Rodriguez. This looks rough, this movie.
It does.
Here's a little scene from it where Christian Bale's character is leaving a fake message for his pal Mike, played by Freddie Rodriguez, so that his girlfriend will think he's actually looking for a job, even though he isn't. Eva Longoria plays the girlfriend.
Did you check the messages?
Four messages.
Mr. Alonso, I'm calling from Sunhouse Properties to schedule an interview.
Honey, this is
please
great.
Call me back.
You gotta call him first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, damn, dog. Good, dude.
You just stood there, and you fed me a line of bull like it was nothing.
Yeah, they didn't hang up in time when he left the message.
Oh.
And Mike's like, that sounded great. That's good. He was there when he called the machine.
So his girlfriend or wife heard his own voice.
Here's that part of the message as well as they're playing through it.
Yeah.
Oops. That's a bad con right there.
That's how the Armenian comedian leaves a message on my home phone.
A Good Year opens today, starring Russell Crowe. In this film, Russell hits a guy in the head with a telephone.
No, that was a real life story.
Oh, that's right. He plays a London-based investment banker who has to go to Italy to sell a vineyard there that he inherited from his late uncle. Yeah. And while he's there, he runs into a woman who teaches him a thing or two about how to enjoy life.
Yeah.
Isn't that always the way when you go to Provence?
Apparently.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the male version of Under the Tuscan Sun. Remember that movie with Diane Lane where she goes to Italy to find herself, too?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I ever saw that one either.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good movie for a chick flick. Here's a scene from A Good Year where the woman is explaining to Russell Crowe's character why she spent the night with him.
Do you know the reason why I spent the night with you? It is because once you have done what you came here to do, you will not return. For us, there can be no future. There is safety in that.
Win! That's a win right there.
That's the perfect thing.
No future for us. I just wanted to bang you because you'll be leaving. Great! That is a good year.
I take it that Russell Crowe's character learns a valuable lesson about slowing down and getting off the rat race and then just enjoying the simple things.
You have to stop and smell the roses, baby.
Yeah. Okay, I've seen the movie. Don't need to
And lastly, Stranger Than Fiction. This is the movie I'm really looking forward to this weekend.
Me too.
Will Ferrell plays Harold Crick, who, as you've seen from the trailers and the commercials by now, has a voice in his head that's following him around, is narrating his life until he finds out it's an actual author.
And only
played by Emma Thompson,
right?
Who is somehow incorporated him into her book and is going to kill him off. Needless to say, that sends him into a panic, and he goes looking for help, including to Professor Jules Hilbert, played by Dustin Hoffman. And Dustin tries to help him decide what's going to happen in this story that this woman's writing about his life and what they can do about it. But first, he has to figure out what kind of book this guy is the lead character in.
Okay.
Are you the king of anything?
Like what?
Anything. King of the lanes at the local bowling alley.
King of the lanes?
King of the lanes. King of the trolls.
King of the trolls?
Yes. A clandestine land found underneath your floorboards.
Yeah? No.
Huh?
No. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. But let's start ridiculous and move backwards.
This sounds great.
Why is Dustin Hoffman so awesome?
Oh, they're both so awesome. This is going to be terrific. I can't wait to see this movie this weekend. It looks terrific. Speaking of movies, so that's my pick for the weekend, by the way, Stranger Than Fiction. It looks like it's an outstanding film with some humor and also some pathos, as they say.
Some weirdness.
Some weirdness and some character development. Looks like it's really well done. Looking forward to it. Did you see the Spider-Man 3 trailer last night?
No.
No.
On all the CBS networks?
No.
They aired the first premiere of the Spider-Man 3 trailer.
Really?
Which looks amazing. So I thought since this is a movie beat, I'd bring in a little taste in case you missed it last night. Here's a little something you can get an idea about the Spider-Man 3 trailer.
I'm going to ask
ask MJ to marry me.
A man has to put his wife before himself. Can you do that, Peter?
Yeah. I think I can.
This man killed my uncle, and he's still out there.
Revenge is like a poison. It can take us over. And before you know it, it can turn you into something ugly.
The suit. Where'd this come from? The power. Feels good.
You knew this was coming, Pete.
I didn't kill your father. I need your help. I have to stop it.
This could be the end of Spider-Man.
Pretty good stuff.
Ralph has a semi right now.
He takes on the Sandman and Venom in this movie. Oh, Venom's this black stuff that crawls all over him and makes him like a black Spider-Man.
When does this come out?
He stops tipping. Comes out this
Memorial Day?
This
maybe?
Summer, yeah, Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
Just very excited about that. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
Cut! That's a wrap. That was The Movie Beat with Ralph Garman on K-Rock.
Harsh Times is the movie we were just talking about a moment ago with Ralph on The Movie Beat. Couldn't be more excited about this film. It opens up everywhere today. Very excited to say the star of the film, Christian Bale, on the line with us right now. Good morning, Christian.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Right before you came on the line, we were talking about these trailers we've seen for Harsh Times, and I break out in a cold sweat just watching the commercial, dude. I can't imagine what the movie's going to be like. It looks intense.
It is. It's bloody intense. We shot it in a real intense manner. It's all set on the streets of L.A. And, you know, it's a couple of buddies, one of whom's a returning war veteran coming back from Iraq, trying to get a job in the LAPD, but kind of slipping back into his good old ways of smoking out and just kind of kicking back and drinking and causing a lot of havoc on the streets of L.A.
Yeah, only now he's mentally a little effed up from going out and killing everybody in the war, so that you add that to the mix.
He's suffering a little bit. He would deny that, but undeniably he's got a few issues. On a serious note, it is a very topical point of to do with PTSD, which we're in no way trying to say is a generic experience of all soldiers, but it certainly isn't rare either.
Now, the writer-director of this film is David Ayers. He's the man who was behind the film Training Day. Is that right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's kind of based on Dave, actually. Dave has a military background.
Oh, is that right?
He lives and loves the Chicano culture in L.A., so everything is really inspired by him. It's really a personal piece for him.
And this is the kind of movie that you hear about that is truly the most independent of filmmaking, where a guy literally finances a movie himself,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's a crazy thing to do. Nobody does that. Everybody says you're nuts if you do that. And Dave ain't some hick from out of nowhere who's just arrived in the movie business.
Right.
He's a real successful screenwriter, but he didn't want or need a studio telling him how to make his own story. And so he financed it himself. You know, he had to kind of remortgage his house for it.
Wow.
He took a great risk on it. And I love that about it.
How did you get involved with it?
I met up with Dave. We were meant to meet for just kind of about half an hour or something. We met at a bar. We ended up about 5 hours later with smashed bottles on the on the ground. We were going to leave. We were arguing with each other. We were shouting and swearing, and I thought, all right, I want to make a movie with this.
Now, Christian Bale's on the line. We're talking about Harsh Times. It opens up everywhere today. It's been a phenomenal couple of years for you with the Batman Begins and the Prestige, so we know you're a fine actor, Christian, but how different is immersing yourself into the streets of L.A. and the...
Absolutely. I mean, in terms of the culture, absolutely, but I do live in L.A., but the point is, I mean, you know L.A., it's like a whole lot of towns all right. Next to each other. You kind of see different walks of life, but you see it through your car window most of the time. So this, for me, was total immersion. I mean, everybody involved in the movie was actually the real deal. You know, we had police officers there advising us. We had military personnel. We had gang members all there. I mean, everything was the real deal on it, and it was a hell of a time.
When you run into people on the street, does anyone say, hey, wait, that's Batman. That guy right there is Batman.
You know, I don't usually get that. I usually get like, oh, you're that, didn't you, do you do our garden? I get that kind of
stuff. Sure you do. Yeah. I read an interview with your co-star, Freddie Rodriguez, who's a tremendous actor from Six Feet Under.
He's very good, and he's bloody good in Harsh Times.
He's great, and of course, he's got the Bobby coming out that he looks amazing in, too. But he was talking about some of the stuff, I guess you shot a little bit, a couple days maybe down in Mexico, is that right?
Yeah, we did, yeah. We shot down in Mexico, we shot in a tiny little town south of Ensenada. And we just kind of invited the whole town for a fiesta. We had music, we had drink, we had food, and everybody just partied, and we kind of shot a movie in the midst of it all.
Yeah, he said not only was it unbelievable guerrilla filmmaking where you just kind of set up and whoever happens to be around is in the movie, which I think is fascinating to me, but he also said it was really eye-opening, and maybe it was for you as well, to see real Mexico, not just the Mexico that you see if you visit there as a tourist.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, this isn't the ground that tourists tread at all. And we had a great generous family who let us have their house, which, you know, was a few breeze blocks and corrugated iron. And these people were fantastic.
I want to ask you, just to get off topic for 1 second. We have a guy here that works at K-Rock, and he has read the book, American Psycho. He guesses 100 times and says that he's seen the movie more than 100 times. Should we be worried about him?
You should be very worried about him.
We are.
Because that's an effed up movie, and I enjoyed it like the next guy, but 100 times.
Yeah, right. If he works at K-Rock, not only fire him, but move K-Rock somewhere else and don't tell him where you've gone.
Excellent.
You have probably, that movie did have fans like that, I've read. You have probably run into people before who just love that film, right, Christian?
It does get very hardcore fans. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we were concerned before, but now having heard from you, we're terrified. We are terrified.
One of you is safe up in their own little island off Seattle, right?
Oh yes.
Yeah, he's safe for the time being. Yeah, but
right. I'm gonna be last man standing when Mike takes you all out, I think is what I'm saying, when he shows up with the chainsaw. Hey, tell me about Eva Longoria. We should mention that she is also in the film. I guess she plays Freddie Rodriguez's character's girlfriend.
Well, look. I've actually, when we made this movie, I was completely unaware of Desperate Housewives. I've not seen it at all, and I just know Eva from playing Sylvia. She's kind of the voice of reason in the movie, and she does a great job.
We have a clip here from the movie. What is this, Mike? Just tell us what it is.
His character seems upset that he's not getting paid for the level of work that he's doing out on the street.
Okay.
Cops better start paying you, dude. Spend enough f***ing time with them.
They better start kicking me down some paychecks, man. They got me hopping through hoops, you know? Come in for a test, come back in 2 weeks, another test, another 2 weeks.
All right, that guy on that clip is not the guy we're talking to on the phone right now.
It's so bizarre.
There's no way.
You really learned to drop the English accent and pick up the American one flawlessly.
Well, you know, I've lived in the States for pretty much as long as I lived in England now, so it's, I'd be a bit of an idiot if I couldn't.
Christian, we knew a guy who worked here at K-Rock for a long time who was from England, and his accent only got stronger and stronger as he went living here, and that didn't make any sense to us.
It doesn't make any sense.
He just turned it up, just kept turning it up.
Well, I tell you why that is, because you do get a lot of people who are quite charmed by the English
and by
accent.
People.
So he's putting it on.
And right. By people, you mean women.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The film is called Harsh Times. It really does look fantastic. And Christian Bale, of course, on the phone in the movie. Freddie Rodriguez, Eva Longoria, writer-director of Training Day. How can you go wrong with this? It looks intense. It looks wonderful. We got to recommend people go out and see that. And Christian Bale, we really are huge fans of yours, man. We love the work you've been doing. I know you got some great stuff coming out. I hope we get an opportunity to talk to you again on K-Rock.
Cool. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, man. Bye now. It's time for Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Tahiti Village?
Why haven't you called, Ralph?
Why haven't you?
That's the hottest spot in Vegas. Come on, Ralph.
Honey, where do you want to stay this weekend? The Palms, the Bellagio?
Hard Rock? No.
No, how about Tahiti Village? Let's check into the Coconut Suite.
That's where all the hipsters are staying.
At the TV, as we call.
Tahiti Village.
Well, good news for fans like me of Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip who were worried about its lack of enthusiastic ratings, shall we say. NBC has announced they are giving the show a full season order, so we will see an entire season at least, so maybe they'll have a chance to garner some more viewership and get off the ground before it gets canceled.
Good.
I'm very happy to hear that.
Me too. I'm digging that show the most.
Yeah.
David Duchovny's returning to primetime television about time.
Yeah.
Tell me.
Daily Variety magazine says he's doing a pilot for a drama for Showtime about a novelist who's trying to raise a kid on his own while at the same time battling an addiction to sex and drugs.
Sweet.
Nice. That's good times right there. Although I was kind of hoping Dave would do a comedy because I think he's very funny.
He's very funny.
But drama will work for me, too.
You people are going to have to get that Showtime. It's got the Weeds.
Apparently.
It's got the Dexter.
Yeah.
Now it's going to have this.
More TV
and
news.
The new Tahitian Village show that debuts this fall.
That new late night soap. Tahitian Village. speaking of TV, last night I've got another installment, an entertainment
tonight's endless interview with Anna Nicole Smith.
They call it One Word at a Time.
Well, they ask a question for 8 minutes, and then they won't let her answer until the next installment. That's pretty much how they work things out.
Right.
Last night, I know she was talking about her mom, right? Wasn't that Bean? She was talking about her mom last night?
Yeah, apparently Anna is estranged from her mother. Anna ran away from home, I guess, at age 15 and has not really had a close relationship with mom. But after Anna's son Daniel died, the mom was all over the TV suggesting that maybe the Anna had something to do with it, like had given the kid the drugs or something like that.
Right.
This is a new side of Anna Nicole Smith, though. You've never seen her as ticked off as she is. It's going to sound like a joke, but it's for real from last night's Insider.
When I saw her on CNN, and I saw how evil she was and the evil she looked, bring it on, Mom. Mommy dearest, bring it on. That's what I want to say.
Bring it on, Mom.
Bring it on. I love how her head shakes whenever she talks about her mother, by the way.
Knock down, like drag possessed. Out, fight.
It's awesome.
So then Mark Steinis asks the follow-up question, and then we find out...
And that is what you call raw emotion, and she's not done venting yet.
What you haven't heard of Anna Nicole's rage. Her new message to her mother.
She won't touch my child. Are you kidding me?
Tomorrow on The Insider.
So that extends to tomorrow. I guess we get part.
Oh, wait a minute.
Second sentence from Anna Nicole on her mom is tonight.
So Bring It On Mom was the whole part last night.
That was essentially it, yeah.
Wow.
And has Anna Nicole Smith lost weight? We'll take a look at her ribs.
Did Pat O'Brien say,
"Praise me, Mom, you're so f***ing hot."
Obese anorexic plastic surgery nightmares. Tonight on Insider in 8 minutes. Stick around.
It sounds like we're joking, but they really are just stretching out this Anna Nicole Smith thing to just absurd heights.
Dude. Sweeps. And in music news, this should be an interesting film. They're making a biopic about Queen frontman Freddie Mercury.
Oh.
That would be an interesting film.
Absolutely. Sure.
Huge band, interesting story. Guy who passed away way too young, of course, from HIV. And the casting is still going on. There's been some offers from big-time actors who want to play Freddie. So I think they'll land a star for that. And in more music news, Chris Cornell has announced he's working on his second solo album. He, of course, of Soundgarden and Audioslave. And interestingly enough, he's chosen an unexpected cover.
He's doing a cover.
To put on the solo album.
Okay.
He has announced he's going to do a new version of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean. Billie Jean is not my lover.
How do you come to that?
She's just a girl who says that I was the one, but the kid is not my son.
Oh. Because Michael didn't do a good job with that?
How do you pick that in 2006?
I don't know. You want to hear a little Chris Cornell doing it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mama always told me, be careful who you love. Careful what you do before the lie becomes the truth.
All right, welcome to Open Mic Night here at Java Junkies.
Yeah.
That was great. Hey, thanks so much. Thanks so much. Yeah, okay, our next act.
That was odd.
That was really odd.
Yeah.
And that's real.
A lot of emotion there.
Wow.
Yeah. I was watching Tenacious D last night in The Pick of Destiny. We got a scene where KG is on the beach at Venice trying to make money playing guitar.
Right.
That's what he sounded like. Like a guy working the sidewalk with a coffee can in front of him looking for spare change.
He's getting very close to Michael Bolton territory with that voice, by the way.
Anyway,
I want to thank K-Rock Lister Don for hooking us up with that. Apparently, he's a big Chris Cornell fan, and that is from an Unplugged in Sweden performance.
Oh, yeah. Chris Cornell. The Swedes love their self some acoustic Michael Jackson. Today's celebrity birthdays. Eve, rapper actress, 28 years old today. Brittany Murphy, yummy, yummy actress, is 29. Mm. Jim Adkins from Jimmy Eat World is 31. Ellen Pompeo, who plays Dr. Meredith Grey on Grey's Anatomy, is 37. She's not the hot one, right?
She's the cute.
No,
kind of cute, but too skinny.
She's cute, but yeah, too skinny.
Way too skinny.
She's the lead character on that.
But she's the one who's banging around with McDreamy, right? That guy?
That's right.
Her.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tracy Morgan from 30 Rock is 38 years old today. 30 Rock, by the way, no problems there. No, make sure that stays on the air. Studio 60, ooh, might be canceled. 30 Rock, rock solid.
Ratings have been not good for 30 Rock either, Ralph. You'd be happy to know, but they are also giving that a full season. So,
Roy Scheider, legendary actor, of course, played Chief Brody in Jaws, 74 years old today. And Russell Johnson plays the professor on Gilligan's Island, 82 years old today. The professor.
Wow. Yeah.
And Marianne. You're on the looking time. What's the matter, Psycho Mike? Okay. I thought you had something to say.
I was hanging on every word.
All right. God bless you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
There's one thing that you know when you hear Deftones, you can recognize it immediately as being them.
That's for
sure.
It's
got a unique sound. I like it.
That is called Hole in the Earth. It's from the new Deftones CD in stores now, a little over a week, I guess, called Saturday Night Wrist. And we're very excited to say the band has joined us here in the studio as the world famous K-Rock here this morning. And first of all, good morning, you guys. And second of all, how did we get you in this morning after you just played at the Avalon last night? This has got to suck to be you right now.
It's actually all right. They coerced us with some breakfast burritos.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yes.
That's all it takes.
Right? Were they worth it now?
Oh, they were delicious. Yeah. Delicious.
Now, part of the reason that Deftones are here, in addition to talking about this story of this new record and how it got made, is that we're all going to be together tomorrow. I want to make sure people know tomorrow we're going to be down in Tustin at the Best Buy at the Marketplace of Tustin. Of course, it's the 2007 K-Rock Calendar and New Music CD that we'll be signing for you. And Deftones, along with Red Jumpsuit Apparatus, are going to be playing a free show. And people can't get their heads around that. They've been emailing us all week going, guys, I don't understand. How do I get the tickets for Deftones? And we're like, come on down. So I think it's going to be great. I think we're going to have a terrific time out there tomorrow, you guys.
Right on. Excited about it.
True.
Tell us about Saturday Night Wrist and where the name came from.
The name came from a silly, I don't know if it's actually the real, I guess, medical Saturday term for it, whatever, right? But yeah, a friend of mine had shown up at the studio when we were recording, and she had a sling on her wrist, and she said that she fell asleep drunk the night before, or a couple nights before, and
her hand was in an awkward position.
And I guess it was like temporarily paralyzed or something like that, and she said that she went to the doctor and they told her that she had Saturday Night Wrist. I just thought it was something kind of funny, something, you know, kind of lighthearted. I think for the album title, it's always hard to title the album and to think of something that, you know, is, I guess, cohesive with the songs and everything. I don't know. I just thought it was something kind of just, you know what I mean? I guess something lighthearted and kind of funny and a little funny story behind it, whatever.
Well, that's what you guys are known for, is lighthearted and funny. I'll tell you that.
Well,
barely yucks.
I think it was a lot had to do with, I think our last record, I think, was a lot more of a darker record. Mm-hmm. And I think coming out of that time and everything with this new record, I just thought, you know, it'd be good to come with something a little bit more, you know, in that way.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to ask, because you guys have had a strong fan base even since your first record, and you have also gone through a lot of changes. Do you get a lot of feedback from fans in terms of which direction you're going? Do they stick with you? Do they trust you when you go out on a limb or do something way different or way harder than they're used to?
I mean,
or do you abandon fans all the time and then bring new ones in?
I think it's a little bit of both. I mean, you know, obviously a lot of the fans from, you know, earlier in the day like us for a lot more of the aggressive stuff that we've done. Obviously, over the years, we've become a little bit more musical. At least we think we have become a little more musical, and trying to bring a lot of that stuff into our music. But there have been a lot of really cool fans that have actually, you know, that have been with us and actually appreciate that we're trying to, you know, take what we know and trying to learn and try different things. You know what I mean?
I imagine there are a certain amount of fans who just think, I liked what you did last time. I want more of that.
Yeah,
there's always people like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, sure. For us, it's for us to, you know, to be able to try to expand our sound. I mean, we have to take chances and experiment.
Right.
And I mean, that's what makes it fun for us to keep doing. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I was reading an interview with you guys in Revolver magazine, and there are a lot of bands who come in here and say that they had a hard time recording the album, that things went wrong or it took longer than they thought or whatever. You guys might be setting a higher bar than most, though, with this one. If everything was true in that article, you were
some
living.
Some of it was. I think I haven't read it yet, but I heard I heard a lot about it, and
I'll run some highlights by you.
Revolver always seems to be able to add a couple of
do they?
Little things.
All right, I'll run some highlights by you. You rented a house in Malibu, lived there for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And tried to work on it there.
Yeah.
And then you had one producer there, but then you got another producer?
Well,
is that right?
Yeah, we actually weren't recording there. We were just writing.
Writing
there. And then we did have Dan the Automator, who previously with the Gorillaz and a bunch of other stuff. But he came in and he started actually kind of record. And we figured, you know, we might as well start recording here. So we brought in some equipment, and we started actually recording. At that point, the record label wanted us to go in with another producer. They weren't happy with him. And,
right.
At that time, Bob Ezrin came in. Which to us was really cool at the time. I mean, he came in and right away started giving a lot of direction. And that's one thing that, you know, we'll sit around and mess around with ideas all day long. But to have somebody come in and kind of give us a regimen and get us to actually, like, you know, focus on exactly what we're trying to do, it was kind of cool right away to have that. And
is it true that you were playing a song for him and you were about halfway through and he said, stop?
We weren't even halfway.
We didn't even get halfway.
Yeah, we were like past the first verse and
really,
he was one of the only producers out of the list of people we were meeting who actually did that. You know what I mean? Everyone else is kind of like, yeah, okay, I need to live with this, or
right.
I need to, you know, take it in more or whatever. And he was the one.
He understood everything right away. He's very musical, very smart. Very.
Well, for folks who don't know the name, I mean, he's the guy who did The Wall, for God's sakes, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and he produced Kiss. He produced a bunch of classic bands throughout the year. So he probably has some pretty definite ideas of what he thinks works and doesn't work. But sometimes especially when you're writing and recording new songs, I mean, you need to live with them a while, let them grow a little bit, experiment around you. It's not all going to sound the way you want it to sound the first time you play it.
Yeah.
It had to rub you the wrong way, didn't it?
Well,
what
no,
me?
I mean, you know, it eventually started to wear on us a little bit because, you know, we've always made our records and we finished them and then we turned them into the record label. It's always been like that for us. And this time it was a lot of pressure from the label also, you know, wanting, you know, obviously, you know, hit songs and kind of being, you know, writing us the whole time, like, you know, song by song, like turn in one more song and say, okay, that's cool, let me hear what else you got. And usually it's never been like that. We've just, like I said, did our records and turned them in. So that was added to a little bit of the, you know, the stress of making it.
So then you're in Malibu and one of you gets hit by a car?
Yeah, that'd be
cheap, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude,
blow out both knees or separate your shoulder.
Yeah,
that's bad news.
I sure should.
Well, I mean, riding the wrong way down the PCH was probably not the best decision.
Drunk. Yeah. Hey, you know what? There was no shoulder on the other side. I was being responsible as possible because 3 hours later, I was like 1.8% alcohol.
Saying I want to get you back on.
Wow.
One. But riding the wrong way down the PCH is never a good idea.
Even sober. There's no other shoulder.
Even sober.
Hey, what if the other guy was riding the wrong way?
Let's put it this way. I could have been in a car driving down the PCH on the wrong side of the road that drunk.
That's true, yeah.
All right, so that happens. Then what happens after that?
So then you go to Connecticut for 3 months or something, right?
Yeah, then we had a bunch of songs that we had from Malibu and from Sacramento when we first started. And we took those songs to Connecticut and started recording over the winter. And we were there for about 3 months. We recorded actually a majority of the record there.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end, it was like, I think it was right before Christmas that time. It was about time for me to start my vocals. That was the last thing that we were doing.
Right.
And
he was ready for you to do it.
He was ready for me to do it. I mean, he'd already been working on the record for close to 4 months at that time. And I think everybody was kind of just like, you know, it had been like a year, I think, from when we started writing the record. So at that time, everybody was just like, come on, let's finish up, Chino. They're all waiting for me. And
he was busy DJing in the city.
And you said, I'm not feeling that right now.
Well, I mean...
And you left for 6 months.
I sure did.
Yeah. Dude! And didn't even talk to the guys, right?
And then it took him a year to do his vocals, too.
Yeah. And then he came back and it took a year. And that's when Bo Bice started getting calls.
Well, according to Revolver, again, they say you were talking about... We haven't heard from our lead singer in 6 months. We've been working on the CD for a year.
There's
maybe
all
we should...
American Idol throwaways.
All standing
around,
by?
Just waiting in the wings.
That's right.
You know?
There's also Cornell, too.
Yeah,
sure, yeah.
Having said all of that,
After hearing Billie Jean acoustic,
come on.
Yeah, that's a little scary.
Was it worth the journey you went through to get to the finished product? Were you guys happy with the way it came out after all of that?
I mean, it sounds kind of, I guess, for me to say it, I guess, you know, whatever. It was for me, you know what I mean? And I don't know, that sounds a little, I don't know, selfish or whatever. But I mean, I think, honestly, think for the record itself, I mean, I think it was really... To take the time for me to take the time to do it, I mean, it really paid off.
Were you guys angry? I mean, I would imagine 4 months, 5 months.
It was we were pissed. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah,
to be sitting around twiddling your thumbs, going, "Come on, you know, like," and on his end of
but
things,
not knowing
he's
either.
Thinking we just want a record done, and it's not that, you know what I mean? We're all trying to get
it's
to
just that we were done.
Goal,
right?
We're done with our stuff.
Everybody's done for like a year.
So how long do we actually give him till he figures out he's cool, where he's happy? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
that's
looks like
pretty much where it was.
Looks like you made the right choice. So
yeah,
the CD is
right,
great.
We got to take a break. The CD is in stores now. By the way, Saturday Night Wrist is the name of it from Deftones. Again, you can see him for free with us at the 2007 K-Rock calendar signing at the Best Buy at the Marketplace in Tustin tomorrow, starting at around noon. I guess you guys are going to go on. Well, I guess Red's jumpsuit apparatus goes on first probably around 1, and then you guys probably go on around 2 or something, I would imagine. But that's all going to be for free tomorrow in Tustin. Details at K-Rock.com. We'll take a quick break, come back, and talk more with the band right after this on K-Rock.
Actually, take phone calls if you want, 1-800-520-1067, and we have tickets to give away for tonight. All right, we are the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. Deftones are in the studio with us. The new CD, of course, is Saturday Night Wrist, and the Deftones are playing tonight again at the Avalon, and we have tickets to give away for that for good questions on the phones.
Okay. All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. I got some questions about some of the songs on the album, but I'll hold those in case people actually come up with them on their own on their phones. Let's talk to Manuel. Is this true, Manuel? You are calling us from San Antonio, Texas right now?
Yes, I am.
What's up with that? You must be just like the biggest hardcore Deftones fan in the world to be listening to us on the internet and calling in.
Dude, I bought 12 tickets. All my friends are going next Saturday night.
All right.
Yeah, what's up, Manuel?
Nice.
Yeah, good looking.
That's
man.
Awesome, dude.
Texas Texas is great for us, man.
Is that
always,
right?
Yeah, always.
There are some states that are way better than others. Is that how
I
it works?
I mean, I don't know. Just it's, Texas is rad.
It's usually where there's brown people.
it's true.
Yeah.
We didn't want to stereotype. We didn't want to say, but we did.
Yeah, look out for the Mexican... flag, man. I'm going to hand you one,
there
man.
You
I'll
go.
Be there.
There you go. Yeah. All right. What's your question, Manuel?
I know you guys work with Serge from System of a Down.
Uh-huh.
Did you guys have anybody else in mind for, like, the album to work with, like, in a collab or something like that, man?
You worked with Maynard, right?
Yeah, that was the last record, the White Pony record. But this one, I actually did some stuff with Walter Schreifels from Quicksand. I don't know if you know who that is. A band from like the early 90s, really great band.
How about HR was hanging around for a while too.
Yeah, I did, that's let's see. Yeah. I did something with HR. Did something with wanted to do something with Perry Farrell. Had a little part for him to do, but it didn't really work out. Who else? Obviously, I did something.
HR is Henry Rollins, by the way.
No. That's he's
human
a singer from the Bad Brains.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, old punk band.
Very
all right.
Cool.
Thank you, Manuel. We would give you tickets, but you can't come here tonight, so thank you for the call.
So we're going to have to pass on that.
He's already got tickets anyway, so.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Jason. Jason is calling us from Corona. We got Deftones in studio. By the way, Steph is not here with you today. Is he playing the goddamn golf video game right now? Is that what he's doing this time?
No, let's get this cleaned up.
Please. Okay, good.
He's working on his horse teeth, which are the brightest, biggest teeth you've ever seen. He got like a Mr. Ed smile, and he spent so much money on them damn teeth that he got every right to buff them, take them to the car wash, do whatever he wants. And he really is working on his teeth.
He's up to dentist. Huh?
That was the only way the whole band would let him go. He's like, yo, I'm working on my teeth.
Yeah, but you know what? He doesn't play that video game anymore. He actually plays real golf now, dude.
Oh, he does?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he a better golfer now because of all the time he spent on the video game?
Yeah. He's got the fundamentals down. You know,
yeah, man.
He was the number one on that Tiger Woods thing?
Yeah.
Number one in the country.
Yeah, world.
For a year or two.
Dude, that's a guy who's playing too much PlayStation right there.
30-year-old
and people
man.
Talk about me holding up the record. That's awesome.
Hey, his parts were done, all right? You gave him enough time to be number one. Our friend had two children.
Jason
was number one.
In Corona, good morning.
What's going on, Deftones?
What's happening?
What's up, dude?
Chino, any future solo projects like your last one coming up in the future?
Jason, do you like the Deftones?
Yeah. I'm going to do another Team Sleep record. Yeah, I think they're writing songs for it right now, so I don't know exactly when I'm going to have the real time to actually to do it, but hopefully in the next year and a half, I'd like to put another record out. I mean, it's really fun for me to do, and, you know.
Might you give the guys a little notice or a mention or something?
Maybe.
He does, man. You know what? We all knew the Team Sleep Tour was coming up during the written, but it's just like we didn't expect the record to take as long as it did.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I got you.
Our whole thing was we were going to be done. He would be able to do what he had to do.
Right.
It's not like it was a secret or
I mean, we all knew. Everyone else's side projects. It's like no one says, don't do it.
No.
You know, it's just, you know.
That's cool.
Jason, thanks for the call. Hang on for your tickets for Avalon, the Avalon show tonight with Deftones. You know, it's funny. You go to iTunes and you can always see what the songs are on the album. And every single one of yours, explicit, 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 explicit. We couldn't play any of them right off the CD on the air. Why is that an important part of your lyrics?
I didn't know it was. I mean, it's not like it's planned or, you know what I mean? I don't think it's, I don't know. They're not really all explicit, I don't think, are they?
Well, they say it is.
According to iTunes, they are.
iTunes is a little overly cautious.
Yeah, overly cautious.
Totally. But I think
I mean, obviously, there's a clean version and there's a dirty version of our record, and they're really not that different. I mean, there's a couple little words here and there.
Pink Cell Phone is my favorite song, and awesome. I'd like to play a little bit of it.
Go right ahead
if you don't mind. This is
Greasy, filthy jugs in truck stop restrooms, hot calling all over the hot calling. I turned that into a verb. Hope you appreciate it. Carling. Hot Carling Academy. It's the school where you go to learn how to buy.
Okay.
In England, they don't have jobs there because they're uncircumcised, and that is just disgusting. So they have to buy. Which also is disgusting because that extra foreskin trapped.
All right, that's enough. Okay. Oh, I don't know. Bean, why do you say it's explicit? Why do you say the album's marked as explicit? What are you talking about?
My mom, this morning, my mom was like, questioning me about that song. What is up with that song? It's just disgusting. And she's like, she played it for my brother too, and she's like, and he was laughing. He thought it was funny.
I was like, well, it is funny.
Would you rather your mom didn't hear your music sometimes?
Yeah. Sometimes. I mean, it's not me saying, actually. I mean, I'm lucky for that. That's not my voice, you know, saying all that stuff. But
you're lucky that you don't have bad teeth and you're uncircumcised too.
Yeah. Yo, exactly.
Jack thought the song was about him.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was like, this broad is going to get me divorced. You know what I mean? She's like, you know, anal sex, bad teeth, you know what I mean? Uncircumcised. I was like, my wife hears this, I'm going to get a divorce.
She's going to know it's you.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we're almost out of time, but we have to ask you about another song on the new record, Saturday Night Risk. We're talking with Deftones here on K-Rock, and this is a song that's getting a lot of attention because there are a lot of people who grew up with the Konami games, the Contra game code. How on earth did that ever come out in a song? How did you ever end up making this song?
Well, it's just it was titled Instrumental at the time, and man, I love that. I love that game. Mm-hmm. They actually missed a misprint. I think their code is a little wrong on there. But that's like I think any kid my age, or you know, anybody who's my age, whatever, that grew up playing the first Nintendo, like that game Contra was just like one of the funnest games. I used to miss school, skip school all the time, and just play that game.
So the name of the song is called UUDDLRLRAB Select Start.
Up, up, down, down, left, right, AB Select Start.
Eternal Life, right?
BA Select Start, though. I think that's what it really is.
For Eternal Life, is that what it means?
Yeah, it's for you get
as many guys as you.
Right. Yeah. Right. Well, actually, no, I don't even think you get infinite life. But
you don't.
Right. But you do get like a bunch of extra.
It was a universal code, though. I think you could use it for many games, and it gave you different things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A few different games. Yeah.
People are listening to it, go, I got to figure out how to do this, and then there's not going to be anything on it for them except for the music part.
Let's take one more call because we are out of time. As fun as this is, let's go to Mikey in Fullerton, and I'm sure you guys get asked this question all the time, but I'd like to get it out on the air. Mikey, how you on with Deftones? Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Deftones?
What's up?
Hey, listen, I have a question. Acoustic. Okay, I know. Steph doesn't like hard rocking songs turned to acoustic. Mm-hmm. But is there any plans on making an acoustic album? Like all your hits, just make an acoustic, straight up acoustic album.
I'm not sure. I mean, I know I just did a acoustic version of Cherry Waves from the new record, and I think it may come out on a B-side sometime somewhere. But I don't know. I mean, I don't think we're going to plan on doing the whole. I mean, every song acoustic. I mean,
you had an acoustic change at one point too.
We did. Yeah. I mean, it's always awesome. It's always an idea to do it for an extra B-side or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, I think I kind of like the songs, you know, the way they are. I mean, acoustically, you can always switch them up a little bit, but I mean, it's basically just a more broken down version of the song. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it sounded awesome. You know, that Hawaiian DVD. You know, the acoustic you guys did. Ooh, you know,
Night Party. Sorry, about that, Mikey.
Yeah, that was. You know.
Yeah, but anyways, you know.
No, I'm glad you liked it. We had a guitar tech who I won't indict. You know, but his name rhymes with Rhinus. And he forgot to bring a tuner, which is kind
Ooh.
Of
sort that's of what you want on a DVD.
Pinnacle for a
yeah, so that whole DVD I think is be out of tune.
How about that?
That's funny.
But we actually learned all those songs like 5 minutes before we played them on that thing for, like acoustically really too. So it was kind of weird, but it seemed to turn out okay. I'm glad you liked it.
Thanks for calling, Mikey. Hold on.
Sure, Mikey, hold on. We got tickets for you. Hey, guys, sold out tonight, of course, at the Avalon. Tomorrow for free at the Best Buy at the Marketplace of Tustin with us. That's going to be around noon is when the event starts. The guys are probably going around 2. So come on out for that. But what about people who are dying to see you and couldn't get Avalon tickets? Will there be a bigger venue maybe down the road, maybe sometime next year or something?
Not sure. I mean, we plan on being on tour for a while, like we were talking about, but not sure.
Heard you guys on the Loveline on Monday night.
Yeah.
And you guys sat down, and the first call was from a guy who who masturbates and likes to have dildos and had 3 of them, and the medium one was 10 inches. Yes. And that's a strange show to sit in on, isn't it? It was pretty bizarre.
Yeah, I was kind of, for the first call, I was kind of caught off guard.
You know, I really don't like someone setting the medium bar at 10 inches.
That's what I'm saying. That's medium? Really,
that's not even cool for us heterosexuals. You know what I'm saying? Now women are like, oh, medium, 10.
10? What the hell?
Honey, what happened? You feel like a little ant penis or something.
And one more piece of this.
British people have bad teeth.
Yeah. Amen. All right. Amen.
Okay. Saturday Night Wrist is the new CD in stores now from Deftones. We'll see you guys out there tomorrow. Thanks a lot for coming down on KROQ.
Thank you, man.
Guys.
All right. Thanks. 106.7 KROQ. Wow.
Long week.
Wow. Q, I think, is the letter there that I was missing. Time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067. Yes, Ralph?
Before we get to the phone calls, real quickly, I just want to take care of some business. Remember I mentioned earlier this week that Gina Lynn, the porn star, was going to be in The Sopranos?
Yes.
And she was talking about the fact she's got some lines and plays a stripper at the Bada Bing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said how much we were looking forward to her next feature film.
Right.
Well, she was very kind and sent us each a copy of Drowning in Bitch Juice.
So I hear that's very good.
I just want to make sure you all got a copy of Gina Lynn's Drowning in Bitch Juice before the weekend. I don't know if you needed it or not, but we just got a case of them, so I wanted to make sure everybody here on the staff
very nice.
Was appropriately taken care of.
So very nice.
Her new tour de force, which we got it early. It doesn't come out until next week, but we have copies of Drowning in Bitch Juice here now. So
how many copies did she send, Ralph?
About a dozen.
Yeah, that's
okay,
quite a few.
Here's what we'll do, because of course, it is What It Do Nephew. We are giving away a ride to snowboard from Sports Chalet and a pair of lift tickets valid at Bear Mountain or Snow Summit. Snow is arriving soon at Big Bear. If you are not selected for that prize, we will give you your own copy of Drowning in Bitch Juice this morning for being on the phone, all right?
18 older, please.
Right, exactly. All right, let's talk to Chris in Chatsworth, because this looks fantastic. Chris, good morning. What it do,
good
nephew?
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
You have a celebrity sighting for us.
Flava Flav was on a plane with my friend, and he was just regular coach class. He wasn't in a first class or anything. And he was just doing his regular rant, Flava Flav, and all that stuff. And
he was chanting funny. That? He sings his own name in front of people, but he was doing that on a plane?
Yeah, he was on a plane, and he was doing that the whole time and walking up and down talking to people, I guess.
Did they allow the Viking helmet onto the plane? It might be used as a weapon.
Yeah, I don't know. My friend didn't tell me if he had that on, but
right.
When my friend went to pick her up, he was outside the airport doing the same thing, wearing his clock and having the hat on and everything, so I imagine he's doing that inside the plane, too.
He has a foam Vikings helmet for traveling.
Is that right?
Yeah, oh, it's like a Nerf. It's like Nerf, so it really is not dangerous.
He never gets tired of being Flava Flav, does he?
No, you would think that he would, right? I mean, you would think that, you know, walking around saying your own name, singing your own name.
While you take off the clock,
yeah.
You know, relax.
Damn, I hate wearing that clock.
I think
that's
him.
Not him?
Yeah.
Speaking of getting out of character, Ralph, I don't know if you saw, but the first photos in months of Sacha Baron Cohen, not as Borat, have surfaced. You know, he stays in character all the time, right?
Right.
When he's playing Borat.
Yeah.
Like, if you've seen him on the street in the last 3 months, he's been Borat.
Right.
Yes.
And he finally shaved off the mustache, and he's just a guy in a baseball cap again. You know, just walking around, being him. Finally laying that character to rest for
now. Now he's got a bleach blonde, dye his a mohawk, and start being Bruno. So
there you go.
That's right.
David in Fontana, good morning.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What to do, nephew?
Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning, David.
Okay, I am a meter reader for a major utility company, and I read a nudist trailer park, and I saw a family of naked people having a barbecue.
You're telling me you went to a nudist park and you saw naked people?
Yeah, it's more like a trailer park.
Yeah, nudist trailer park. Those words should not go together, right? I mean,
a nudist 909 trailer park.
These are not the people we want to see naked.
Nudist community, last people you want to see naked.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's true. Couldn't be more true.
Did you take a picture?
I wish I could, but I couldn't.
And barbecuing in the nude, by the way, sounds very dangerous.
Very dangerous. Yeah.
And sexy, yes.
It was sexy.
No.
No, not at all. Okay.
Not sexy.
All right, thanks.
Except for frying bacon. I can't think of anything that would be more dangerous to do nude.
Joe in Long Beach, good morning.
Hey, what to do, nephew? What to do, Lisa Mae?
Hey, Joe.
What to do? You have a celebrity sighting?
So Thursday, I'm in Costco in Long Beach, or Signal Hill, whatever you call it, and Wee Man was in there.
Mm-hmm.
He's pushing around one of those big shopping carts, and obviously he looks funny just watching him do that.
I guess the cart's taller than him.
Yeah, but he's chasing these little kids playing with him, and this one lady, man, big old huge lady, she was all pissed off and, you know, started yelling at him and just, like, ripping him a new butthole, man. It was great, just because she was chasing a kid around. Or he was chasing a kid around.
I like that it's not enough to say ripping him a new one, like most people say. He has to specify.
Butthole. In case you're curious. What orifice was ripped?
Thanks for the call.
Don't yell at we, man. People, come on.
Let's go to Tony and Torrance. Good morning, Tony. What it do, nephew?
What it do, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May, Ralph. Thanks, Mike. Whoever else is there.
What's going on?
What it do?
I just want to talk about how the Clippers are going to suck and the Lakers are a lot better team because we got more depth and the 19-year-old beast, Andrew Bynum.
Yeah. Andrew Bynum is 19 years old. He's the center, and he's really playing amazingly well.
Really good, yeah.
What's he going to be when he grows up? Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's
Tony,
crazy.
Tony, I appreciate your enthusiasm for the Lakers, but you, I guess, have not heard the word that it is, again, this year, hip to clip. The King of Mexico has informed us that we're all off base, that the Clippers are the team.
Yeah, I'm a Laker fan. Psycho Mike's a Laker fan, and that kind of drives him crazy. So he went into the studio on his own and made a song about the Clippers.
And the fact that they don't need Jack Nicholson as a fan, I think, is really the thrust of the
Because they have Dave the King of Mexico.
That's right.
Really, that's what it is.
The Clipper Nation's back. Yeah. The Laker fans don't know how to act. Yeah. The Lakers suck, and we know that. Yeah.
Nice.
We're playoff bound, and that's a fact. Yeah.
Tell them who they are.
Elton Brand. He cleans the boards, because he's the man. Cadino Mobley cuts through the lane. Sam Cassell has a post-up game.
Tell who the fans.
Stoney Jack got Malcolm in the middle. Stoney Jack got Michael Clark Duncan. Stoney Jack got Penny Marshall. Stoney Jack got Dancing Daryl. Stoney Jack got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico.
Go Mexico.
Got King of Mexico. You know, I'm tired of Kevin and being a psycho Mike not giving the Clippers their props. With a team that also has Maggette, Thomas, Ross, Livingston, and Kamen, it's over. You know who's the best in the West. There ain't no Warriors. There ain't no trails blazing. The Lakers are drying up. The suns are setting. Clipper Nation number one. 2006, you know they're going all the way. King of Mexico, and I'm out.
Come on. Unbelievable. Dave came dangerously close to being on tune on a few of those notes.
Oh, he was nowhere near dangerously close.
There's a couple he almost got close to being on tune.
By accident, yeah. Wow, that was
bad. You better be careful. Penny Marshall's certainly an appropriate trade for Jack Nicholson. I guess the Clippers fans are better than the Lakers fans. You're right about that.
Don't eat Jack.
Got Malcolm in the middle.
Got Malcolm Clark Duncan. All right. Thanks to all of our callers. And by the way, the people we didn't get to today, because it is Friday and we do have the Bitch Juice DVD, we're going to give those to you, even if you didn't get on the air today, because that's how lucky you are to be calling in today.
I want to thank all of our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show. Wait, what's this all about?
Go Lightning.
Go Lightning.
Can I have the other band, the one that's a little more upbeat?
Go Lightning.
I want to thank Maggie Gyllenhaal for joining us. The film is in theaters today called Stranger Than Fiction. Also, of course, thanks to Deftones for joining us. You heard all about their new CD, Saturday Night Wrist, in stores. Join us tomorrow with them down at the Marketplace in Tustin at the Best Buy store for the 2007 K-Rock calendar signing. Thanks to Lieutenant Brian Suits for joining us. See him on the TV tonight over there on the military channel, My War Diary. First two episodes of this new series tonight at 9 and 9:30. And Psycho Mike, how about your boyfriend Christian Bale for joining us on the show today? His new film also opens up everywhere today, and it is called Harsh Times.
Mike goes to the floor.
You haven't just beat the crap out of Mike.
I can't take that noise anymore. It's going to drive me nuts. Monday morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show, we have details on our Christmas CD.
Christmas CD? What?
And more importantly,
there's a Christmas CD?
At 7:15, details.
We better get starting to work on that.
Details on K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2007.
What?
Monday morning at 7:15.
Oh, so much going on.
Lightning's here for the Plizzog.
Yeah, well, first off, I'm picking Bean up at the airport.
Right.
So I have a couple options for Bean. His mode of transportation. Bean, you got to choose one of the above. You got the monster truck, the child molester van, the Harley in the sidecar, the Dukes of Hazzard Dodge Challenger, or the fly yellow clown car. Your choice.
I will pay you $100 to pick him up in the motorcycle and the sidecar.
I'm going
to
vote sidecar as well. Sidecar as well.
If I get off the plane in Long Beach tomorrow and I see the freaking child molester van out there, I'm just calling a cab. I'm just shining you. Sorry, man.
All right, sidecar.
All right. You got to do the plug. You got to wrap it.
Man, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
What? Yeah. All right. Here we go. I'll see you this Sunday, Pomona Raceway. Come on out. Learn to party my way. Racing all weekend. Finals on Sunday. You'll be drinking so much beer, you'll be puking Monday. Yeah, yeah. You got dragsters, funny cars, the smell of burning nitro and racing scars. You'll have so much fun, you won't want to leave. But you ate too many hot dogs, and you're about to heave. Remix! You got the Auto Club NHRA finals this weekend, boy!
Wow, finally, actually delivered.
It only took him 17 tries to learn that we're going
to
make him rap.
I tried to crack you guys. I tried to crack you guys last week.
There's no crack.
By being so bad.
That's not going to happen, dude.
We love that. Now you're screwed because you actually did it. So now we know you can.
See you tomorrow at the Tustin Marketplace, Best Buy. We're going to be there from noon to 4.
Best Buy!
And we'll see you on Monday morning.
Deftones.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Smoke weed.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Roll another one.
Oh, oh.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Our pal Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including new music from Foo Fighters. Also, AFI on the way, Snow Patrol, Tool, and yeah, the Chili Peppers. Coming up on K-Rock.
Already that we need sweaters and it's winter time. So anyway,
check.
Let's pass it around.
Marijuana is just H's way of saying
I'm high.
This is an utter failure. We need to end it and let these boys go home.
So thanks for the memory. Awfully glad I met you. Cheerio and toodaloo. And thank you so much.
Thank you for listening, and may Allah bless you all as I greet you in peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Seacrest, out.
Bye-bye. So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.